Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody today? Always great to be with each and every one of you. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So from Shamokin Dam to Middleburg and Mifflinburg and Danville and Sunbury and Sealands Grove and Port Treverton and New Berlin and Sunbury and up and down the valley. It's great to talk to you each and every day. We'll have Gabe Sinacropi on today from the Williamsport Crosscutters. Their season will get underway Friday night here at State College, but their home opener will be at historic Bowman Field Saturday evening. We'll talk about what they have planned for the weekend and also what they have planned for the initial stages of summer. We'll talk to Gabe about that a little bit later. The Golden State Warriors winning the NBA championship last night, the single most relieved, the happiest broadcast entity out there, it happens to be ABC, which drew a 15.9 rating last night, and the highest average rating ABC has ever had for the NBA Finals of 13.9. The single most relieved broadcast entity out there is Fox, which has the U.S. Open Golf Championship. And the U.S. Open Golf Championship, the second round in prime time on Fox Friday night. Why are they relieved? Golden State won. No Game 7. Game 7 would have been Friday night. Now they have a chance to really get a strong viewership number on Friday for this. It is interesting that ESPN, last week, among cable sports networks, finished third in the ratings. Now, there are extenuating factors that created this. Number one, ESPN had the NBA Finals on ABC, its sister network, as opposed to having it on ESPN. They keep it on ESPN, they draw monster ratings, and they blow everybody out of the water. ABC, though, can reach 100% of the country. ESPN reaches 82%. And under the agreement with the NBA, they put the finals on ABC. So that's factor number one. Factor number two is that NBC Sports Network was the number one cable sports network for the week. They had games 3 and 4 of the Stanley Cup Final on. And they drew record numbers for that. And in fact, when it went back to over-the-air NBC, Game 6 drew a 5.6 rating, the largest they've ever had, on Monday night. The number two rated cable network, and this now will draw to the Big Ten and Penn State, was Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1 with the Women's World Cup beat out ESPN last week. In fact, the opening round game with Australia last Monday drew an average of 3.3 million viewers. Huge numbers on Fox Sports 1. In fact, the ratings on Fox for the Women's World Cup success is notable because Fox is recording better ratings for it than ESPN did. And they had it 4 years ago. That says something to the popularity of the sport and also the job that Fox is doing. Number two is when they went to over-the-air Fox for U.S.-Sweden, they drew a record 4.5 million viewers, which happens to be the fourth highest viewership for a women's soccer game ever in the United States. Well, the other three happened to be the final. This was round two in pool play. Now they have the U.S. Open, Fox does, coming up this week for the first time ever. I can assure you Jim Delaney is watching all of this very, very closely. Do you continue with ESPN as your primary partner, especially with them holding the cards for the college football playoff? Because they will always give you exposure in college football above all else, and also college basketball, because they are, after all, ESPN. Or do you throw some of your lot in with Fox Sports because, A, they have the money, and maybe with the World Cup and maybe with the U.S. Open, they're showing they can draw some viewers and take away from the Big East syndrome that threw a wrench into what Fox might be able to deliver. Big East championship game drew 445,000 viewers, which is not very good considering it's the Big East championship game. And you also had Villanova in there, the marquee program in the Big East, out of the fourth largest market in the country. When that happened, that made everybody stand back and say, whoa, I wonder if Fox Sports 1's a serious player or not. I wonder if Fox is a serious player. They're serious on money, but are they a serious player in terms of our ability to draw on there? Now the Women's World Cup goes there. Wow. They're doing really well. Now let's see how the U.S. Open does. Critical time for all of that and more. Kevin Herr is with us, where IndyCar can't find a footing anywhere.
Actually, my concerns aren't even with IndyCar today. It's with football, actually.
Did they deflate your ball? What would they do?
Well, I'd like to know who thought that it would be a good idea to bring back the circa 1930 uniforms for a game in November against the Bengals. Yep, that's right. The striped uniforms, striped socks, the Bumblebees / Jailbird uniforms are back. Why? I mean, there's nothing good about those uniforms and the gray Poupon pants. So I decided to look up what the ugliest throwback uniforms were. And to my, well, not surprise whatsoever, as a matter of fact, the voted worst throwback uniform, the Pittsburgh Steelers Bumblebee prison uniforms with the yellow and black striped socks. Coming in at a close second, Steve, were the Eagles uniforms that they brought out in 2007 against the Lions. They were the sky blue and yellow unis. Did you even know blue and yellow were in the Eagles uniforms before 2007? I didn't.
So once again, a show that starts out on a high level discussing the future of what you're going to watch on TV disintegrates into, oh my goodness, look at the colors they're wearing on their uniforms.
Oh wait, I have to watch this on TV though. That ties in there. I'll be watching this.
You'll watch regardless. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Free deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line. And they're all tied at 19, 19.
15. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Fords available with savings up to $10,000 and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown Sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types to wear a day coat, pants with stripes.
And after a strong start, the show then disintegrated into what uniforms people wear. Why?
Yeah, I've been asking that all day. Why? Why bring back those uniforms?
Why are we talking about it?
Because it's just so mind-boggling. I mean, nobody likes these uniforms. Not even the ownership likes the uniforms. Why would you bring them back?
I don't know.
We even had a segment on this a couple of weeks ago. Remember we talked about uniforms? And the Steelers lost points because of these throwback uniforms? Why bring them back? No one likes them. And from a broadcaster standpoint, you would hate them if you called a game because they're very difficult to read the numbers. See, it's little things like this, Steve, that bother me. Yeah, the big picture stuff's cool, but it's the little things that bother me as well.
You're sure there's not an open bar there, right?
No, but I'm beginning to think that the NFL has one available to them.
Well, the NFL doesn't pick the uniforms out. Team does.
Art Rooney II once admitted that these looked like a prison uniform.
Yeah, but the team picks what they wear. Hey, they have to inform the NFL what they're wearing. In other words, if the Dallas Cowboys decide on Thanksgiving they want to wear their home blue uniforms, they have to inform the NFL. That way the opponent knows what they're going to be wearing. Team picks the uniform. The NFL does not pick them.
There is only one good thing about these uniforms, that when wearing them, the Steelers are 3-1, which is better than when they first brought them out in 1934 when the Steelers went 2-10.
They're 3-1 with them on. You want to know why they're 3-1 when they wear them?
Please tell me.
Because
they score more points than the opponents?
In three of the four games, they probably had better players.
That may very well be true. Well, from the 1934 team, that may very well be true, actually. Get this. Here, I looked up some stats. Warren Heller led the team in passing, completing 28% of his throws for 511 yards and two touchdowns and 15 picks. He was also the leading rusher on the team, with 132 carries for 528 yards. And, oh, yeah, he was the leading receiver on the team with six catches for 96 yards. That may very well have been the last time that one player was the leading passer, rusher, and receiver on a football team.
Okay, we'll get back to this later, about 10 after 5 or so.
I was going to say, wow, what's wrong with you?
This is going to be on the after show. Is this something you and Sean Kerry talked about?
No, we didn't. I didn't actually find this out until after he left for the day, so I didn't get a chance to share that with him.
Well, great. Well, so now he caught a huge break. All right.
Wow. Led in passing, rushing, and receiving. Played three seasons, by the way.
Okay. The Phillies last night got bombarded. Gave up 8 home runs, which is an Orioles record. Jeff Francoeur pitched 2 innings last night. Do you know why he pitched 2 innings last night?
Because nobody else was available?
Because they took the phone off the hook in the Phillies bullpen, and they were trying to call down there. They were trying to call down there and couldn't get in touch with them. They started waving a towel to get their attention.
I did hear about that.
Okay. Okay. This is how backwards they have gone. The bullpen is 360 feet away. If you can't call them, walk out there. It's not that far. The bullpen is not in Camden. Okay? Okay? Between innings, walk out there. Tell them yourself. But, it's not beneath you to do it.
But nobody's come up with the reason why it's off the hook.
It doesn't matter. Just go out there and, I mean, it could have been accidentally knocked off the hook by somebody, whatever. Somebody could have been mad, threw a glove, a ball, hit it, knocked it off, whatever. Bunch of reasons could have happened as to why. But walk out there, okay? Send the pitching coach, walk out there, tell him. Don't wave towels and things like that. Just go out there. That's how backwards they are. Simple. I mean, if you cannot take care of simple things, how do you expect an organization to take care of something big? Little things, all the little things that you need to take care of, you take care of, because taking care of all the little things lead to taking care of big things. And waving towels and everything else that goes with it, trying to get the attention of the bullpen, which in this game was irrelevant, but it shows how dysfunctional this organization is. They're dysfunctional.
I think the more disturbing part is not only was the phone off the hook, but nobody out in the bullpen must have been paying attention because he threw like 50 pitches.
He threw 48.
It wasn't like he threw one or two pitches and then somebody went, oh, darn it, the phone's off the hook. We better get somebody warming up. He threw like 50 pitches in 2 innings.
Well, he probably sat out there and just assumed that they're just going to let a position player play it out for him. That's probably what happened. So that's part of the dysfunction. Gabe Sinekropy in the next half hour on the Cutters, who are always very organized and a well-run organization. And Kevin lamenting on uniforms, while I'll talk about something serious with the Astros and Cardinals. So, my big topic is big picture, looking to the future of what sports could look like on TV. Yours were about what jersey you pull over your pads.
What the uniforms look like on TV.
Did you suffer a head injury?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Gabe Sinekropy joins us from the Williamsport Crosscutters, who open their season Friday night on the road, but then they're in the home opener, which will take place at Historic Bowman Field Saturday evening. Gabe, welcome. It's great to hear you.
Absolutely, Steve. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, believe me, nobody's happier about it than me, Gabe, because I opened the show talking about ratings, the future of television, the Big Ten, talking about several Astros and Cardinals. And I said, Kevin, what do you have? And he says, did you see the Steelers Bumblebee uniforms? So to talk to somebody who actually wants to talk about sports actually is kind of a relief for me. Thanks for bailing me out.
Gabe, this is all
right.
It's all about balance.
Get right down to real baseball, right?
It's all about balance on the program, Gabe. You know, I can't get him to understand it.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yes, thank goodness. Yes. All right. So, Kevin, go get a beverage.
All right. Good. Thanks.
We got it covered over here, Kev.
We're all good.
Good night. I'm gone.
You get to this point, it's going to be one of those weekends where you have the one singular home opener. What are some of the things that you are going to put into Saturday night game at Williamsport to make it a special night as you try to make it special?
Well, one of my favorite things, Steve, that we'll have on opening night that we introduced last year was the Cutters drum line. And, you know, they'll be out there pounding the skins as we introduce the Cutters onto the field and our starting lineup and, of course, the full team introductions on opening night, and they'll be playing both during the game, before the game, and outside as well before the game for people. They love the drum line. So for me, that's one of the highlights, even more than the great fireworks show we're going to have post-game after opening night.
What about changes in seating? Any changes in seating up there in the configuration of the ballpark this year? Because I know you've been doing some things over the past couple of years with right field.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. We've taken out the big right field bleachers that held upwards of almost 900 people. But in a city the size of Williamsport, we just had too many seats at Susquehanna Bank Park, Steve. And we've always wanted to get seats taken out. We're also the boundaries of this stadium are very tight. There's actually a street that runs right around our stadium. So, you know, to create new areas in Susquehanna Bank Park, we have to change an existing area. And that's what we did. We took an area that is not being used, that was certainly underutilized, the right field bleachers, and we've simply taken those bleachers out. It's a flat area, high top tables and chairs. We hope that it's a temporary area. We have grand plans to build a huge two-tier deck out there with a full bar service, entertainment deck, etc. But in the meantime, we've come up with a really fancy name for this spot. Get ready.
Yeah.
We put all our best, you know, brains into it, and we came up with the patio. How about it?
Okay. Tell me you were able to go out and hire a firm that came up with this for you.
That's probably, you know, if we paid $15,000 for somebody to come up with it, that's what they would have come up with. We came up with it for free. The patio's open to everybody with a ticket to a game. They can go out there and enjoy watching the game with their friends and neighbors, get their favorite sandwich off the grill, favorite beverages. We even have free cornhole out there, so people can play other games while the baseball game's going on. So we think it's going to be a pretty popular area as we move through the season.
I would have come up with Gabe's Gated Community.
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one, except it's just not gated. So everybody's welcome. So.
Put it in the plans, okay? Put it in the plans.
Absolutely.
You've built to this point. Tell me what the next few days will be like for you and the organization to make sure that the little things are taken care of so a big item, the game itself, comes off perfectly.
Yeah, well, it's a whirlwind. You know, you have a list of a million things. Like you said, a lot of them are little things, those things that you, for the last couple of weeks, you said, okay, we can do that, you know, when we're 24 hours away or 48 hours away, and you know, we're pretty much there now. So you are doing the little things, putting up, you know, some of the last-minute signage, new signage for sponsors and for other things inside the stadium, while also dealing, obviously, with the team now that the team itself is here. You know, we go from just a front office of less than 10 people to having 30 more people you know, in our stadium. So there's some other, you know, strings pulling at us as well. So other things to do, and in getting them going for all their workouts every day. And yesterday we had kind of a doubleheader with our media day and our Meet the Cutters event for the fans. So you're right. All the little things, wrapping it up, last minute, even cleanup of certain areas and getting them all ready and spit shined for Saturday at 6 o'clock when we open the gates.
Yeah, and Susquehanna Bank now has sponsorship on the park, which you've referenced a couple of times. You mentioned putting up new signage in this I-99 corridor now, where 20 years ago there was only the Williamsport franchise. Now there's State College and the Altoona Curve have a Double-A Eastern League team. What's it been like selling now in that area? What kind of response are you getting from businesses in Lycoming County and surrounding counties that want to be involved with the club?
Well, I can say, you know, I'm happy to say, Steve, that this was our best year sponsorship-wise of our 22 years here in Williamsport. So we're happy about that. And really, I think just as sports marketing itself evolves and more people want to be a part of it and see the value of being associated with a professional sports team, whether it's baseball or another sport, it's kind of an easier ask than it used to be. And they see now that after all these many years, they see that minor league baseball teams are certainly very professionally run. And, you know, the marketing departments and what we do with sponsors have, man, they've evolved a great deal over the last 20 years. So I think it's just more popular for businesses to be involved, more advantageous for them to be involved, and more, they see more success with it than ever.
In the opening couple of weeks of the season, what are some promotions that you hope can get some people out to the ballpark?
Well, you know, opening night with fireworks, you hope, kind of takes care of itself, and it's a Saturday night. So you got everything going for it there. But as we go down through the schedule a little bit, our next weekend, after this opening weekend, Friday night, we've got Friday, June 26th, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's coming in, Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer, to meet fans. He headlines our annual Redneck Night. So Hacksaw will be here to meet fans, sign autographs, take pictures with our fans. We'll have a salute to mullets, best mullet contest, real or fake, best redneck outfit, and more. So we'll have some fun on Friday. That very next day, this is a pretty cool weekend. On Saturday, it's our Star Wars night. Lots of teams doing Star Wars night. We've done them for the last few years. Our friends from the 501st Legion come in with incredible costumes. I think you've seen them too, Steve.
Yeah,
I mean,
I have.
You think you're in the movie. These guys, they've got
right,
the real
yeah.
deal. So they come in and entertain everybody. But in addition, since this is such a big year for Star Wars fans with a new movie coming out at the end of the year, highly anticipated, we're wearing Star Wars themed jerseys that night, and we're really proud of them. They are really cool. So we think that fans are going to love them, and they're going to bid on them during the game in our silent auction. All the proceeds will go to charity, but we'll be showing those jerseys off on our social media networks over the next week or so, and I think they're going to prove to be pretty popular. So that's a weekend, you know, right in the beginning of the season that we're looking forward to with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Star Wars characters and the jerseys in that that weekend. So it's going to be fun. And then we bring in Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell on Thursday,
right.
July
yep.
2nd. So we're going to have fun with him and our detention, our after-game party with Dennis Haskins, who is Mr. Belding, or was Mr. Belding, after-game party detention with Mr. Belding. So you can get detention, but have fun at the same time, you know? So it's going to be the best detention you ever had.
Oh, and by the way, the Christmas sweater uniforms are still one of the best I've ever seen. So
they were ugly, weren't they?
I have to give you props. I have to give you props. I know I've asked you this question before, but I'm going to ask it again. Have you ever done a promotion there at the ballpark where, you know, you sat down with a few other people and you said, okay, you know, well, all right, we'll do this. And then you did it, and you're like, I can't believe how successful this thing was.
You know, one thing that we're always, this doesn't totally answer your question, but we're totally surprised at every year is our last game of the season. No matter when it is, I mean, sometimes it'll fall on a Friday night that will, you know, our last weekend usually coincides with the first weekend of high school football. So, right. You know, you have a Friday night, you know, first football Friday in Pennsylvania, and you're like, yeah, what's this going to do? We're out of the race. You know, we've got everything going against us on this night. And, man, we do really well. And it seems every year is the same thing. Every year we think nobody's coming to the last game since, you know, we may not be in the pennant race. And every year we're pleasantly surprised that there's, I mean, we may not pack the park, but sometimes we go into it thinking there's going to be, you know, we're going to draw flies. So we're always, you know, very excited about what happens on our last game of the season. So fans do come out to support us and say goodbye and thank us for a fun year.
What's this relationship been like for you now that you've been there for a while personally, Gabe, and the people you've been able to meet that appreciate the club, appreciate what you do, understand the challenges that you have? What has this been like for you?
Well, it's been the best 22 years of my life, I can tell you that. You know, I was in baseball before. I came here with the team from Geneva, New York. But spending 22 years in a city doing the same thing, you really become entrenched in a lot of things besides just the ball club. You know, by virtue of my position with the team as director of marketing, I'm kind of out there, you know, face and voice. You know, you get opportunities to be involved with a lot of other organizations and do a lot of things in the community. And I think that's one of the really great things about our club, that not only myself, but all of the full-time members of our staff, the least amount that they've been here is like 8 or 9 years. So it runs from 8 or 9 years to 22. Where do you find that in sports, which is a very transient business, especially at this level of the minor leagues, which is, you know, almost the lowest rung? I mean, usually these jobs are, you know, people come in for 2 or 3 years, they make their mark, they do something okay, and they're on to the next thing. It's just been great. You know, we've had great ownership for 21 years with Paul Veldt. We have a great new owner in Peter Freund in Cutting Edge Baseball that makes it that we can still be here. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'll be totally honest with you. It's fantastic to be able to work short season baseball and do what we do. So we're all very lucky to have had this opportunity.
Well, firsthand, I can tell everybody that you and your staff do a tremendous job, you in particular, and I've always appreciated the work that you do. Gabe, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday night up at the ballpark.
Absolutely, my friend. And we're not kicking you out of your booth this year, so no TV coverage. So you guys get the so bad. You know, the last 3 years we've kicked you out and put you in a spot where all the writers are. I mean, we have so little space in our 90-year-old facility. I'm happy to say, Steve, that you, not that the visiting radio booth is all that comfortable, but you got the visiting radio booth on Saturday night.
There you go. That's great. Because last year you had me across the street. No, I'm just kidding. He was a little tough there.
That's what we do with the visiting radio people who we don't like. So, you know, consider yourself lucky.
Okay, thanks so much. I'll see you Saturday, my friend.
All right, Steve. Thanks. Look forward to being on sometime over the summer.
Oh, you will. You will be on. We've talked about putting you on every month during the summer so we can talk about the club.
Sounds awesome. Thanks, my friend.
Gabe Sitacropi joining us from the Williamsport Crosscutters. We'll get back to Kevin's conversation about uniforms in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. the lament in the Her House for years, waiting for the moment.
The moment that never came.
Yeah. Yes. The Cardinals are conducting an internal investigation into the allegations. If you look into this, it now appears that, first of all, I'm not sure this ever comes to fruition as a federal indictment. Let's start with that. You're getting the feeling, the more you read about this, that the, quote, feds, to use their, right, aren't really all that wound up about this. They're doing it. But this could be something that eventually they hand over to Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, and say, okay, here, look, you take care of discipline on this. It could very well be. Because the more you read into this is that it's one or maybe a couple people who used to work for this guy with the Cardinals that just don't like him. The FBI believes that Cardinals officials gain access to the Astros database by using a list of passwords. There are serious allegations that don't reflect who we are as an organization, said Bill DeWitt. But if you read further into this, even the FBI says that they're targeting one or two individuals that hated working for this guy, essentially, when he was here, and they thought they just caused some trouble. Now, we'll see how this plays out, but I thought baseball, did you read the baseball statement yesterday?
Yeah, we read that one on the air. It was very, bland. Let's put it that way.
No, it was not bland. It was far from bland. It was the opposite of bland.
The part I read was.
Did you read it?
I read just a portion of it.
Okay. There's a key word that is missing. What word is missing in Major League Baseball's statement?
Well, the part that I read yesterday was that we knew about it well in advance of the report.
All right. Well, there's a word missing in baseball, Major League Baseball statement about it. They refer to it as illegal activities. Right? They didn't use the word alleged.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the statement.
These are things I notice.
We knew about it well in advance of the report. There's an ongoing investigation with respect to an unauthorized entry into the Houston system. To assume that the investigation is going to produce a particular result with respect to the Cardinals, let alone jump to the use of a word like cyber attack, I just think that we don't know what the facts are yet. But then eventually, the commissioner does use the word alleged allegation.
Yeah. Yeah, down the road.
Down the road.
Not at the beginning. Look, I know John Mozeliak a little bit, the general manager of the Cardinals, because he's been here several times. And I have always liked talking to John very much. Father, in fact, went to Penn State. And you can tell in his statements, he's furious at whomever did this. And this looks like it's further down the chain and is not going up the chain.